Sunday the 7th of July 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, All at Sea. Sermon title, Abundance from Heaven. Bible reading, Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 10, talk by Roger Whip.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The calling of the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we have a lot to thank you for. We thank you for the blessings you pour out on us. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for your word and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you as we look at your word this morning that we have an example to follow with the early disciples. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will benefit from hearing that reading today. Amen. Now, this morning, I must admit that I have that deja vu feeling. You know, feeling as if I've been here before. I guess that's not surprising, as I was in the pulpit only a week ago. Now, that's quite rare for us lay readers, such as me, to be asked to speak 2 weeks running unless there's a bit of an emergency. So I'm sorry, but you've got to put up with me again. You've got the short straw once more. Now, I'm not sure what I'm worse at, fishing or preaching. Certainly in my youth, I used to go fishing with my mate Des. He was a much better fisherman than me. In fact, later in life, he became a semi-pro angler, earning quite a lot of prize money. Often as I sat on the bank, catching nothing, whilst he filled up his keep net, if the opportunity arose when he went to the loo, for instance, I would get my float and wallop it where he was fishing, poaching on his territory. However, seldom did it pay any dividends. I guess in the end of the day, it's more about your ability, perhaps more than the location. Nearly 50 years ago, when I was newly married, I tried my hand at sea fishing with mixed emotions. I was extremely seasick, but proudly I arrived home with several dabs, which is a kind of flatfish, in my plastic bag. However, as I reached into my plastic bag to present my new wife with the evening meal, shock, horror, they had escaped. So I ran down the stairs of our small upstairs flat, and there, still flapping on the pavement, were my two fish. They'd fallen through the hole in the plastic bag. Well, as for my preaching, I guess the jury is still out on that one. Now, although the leadership have asked me not to keep mentioning my Damascus Road testimony, for those that already know it, you'll realise I don't believe in coincidences, but I do believe that God can turn around bad experiences into blessings. You can always Google me if you are interested and you don't know my story. Now, after 18 years of serving God here at St. Chad's, I really thought last week's sermon was going to be my last here, because I considered that God was telling me perhaps it was time for me to change where I was to go fishing for him. See, God often moves in mysterious ways. This month's preaching rota was extremely late in being distributed. And it was only, just over a week ago that I realised that I was down to preach this morning. And because of the short notice, I did agree that I'd fulfil this commitment. And I didn't even know at the time what the reading or the subject matter was. But much to my astonishment, when I read it and I got home, it certainly made me think. Now, my 18 years here have been no different from normal life experiences. There have been crest of the wave experiences, but also times that I've struggled to keep my head above the water. However, Jesus, the lifeguard, has never abandoned me or failed in his duties. Yes, people may let us down, but not him. Here in today's reading, we have this wonderful story of Jesus starting to gather his ministry team together. And certainly as I've considered its message over the past few days, it's given me reassurance in my troubled times that God really does know best. Now, unlike me, Simon Peter, John and James were professional fishermen. They were partners in a successful fishing business. On this day, while they were fishing on Lake Galilee, their skills counted for nothing. It wasn't until they followed the instructions of Jesus that this miraculous catch materialised. And this was about to change the course of their livelihood and indeed their lives forever. Therefore, as I take my undefined break from St. Chad's, please pray that not only will I clearly hear the voice of Jesus, but also be obedient to it. There are a few points I want to bring out of today's reading that may also be very relevant to you. Notice at the beginning of the story, the crowd were hungry to hear the teaching of Jesus. In some translations, they say that they were pressing in on Jesus. And that's not surprising, because if you read the previous chapter in Luke 4, verse 40, it said this: at sunset, they brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Note that all were healed, not just a few. No wonder that they were so keen and were pressing on him, and that caused him to step back into the water and onto the boat. Now, although he stepped back, he continued to preach. You know, in today's world of uncertainty and disappointments, people are still hungry. They have a real need. They're seeking a solution. A bit like my poor fish, they're probably floundering on the pavements. You are here this morning because either you are still seeking, or you have already found the solution in Jesus and you want to worship him. Yet how many Christians are prepared to do as the disciples did? Not only giving up their occupations, but even their lives to the service of God. Now, I'm not saying you must necessarily give up your job or make major changes in your life. But are we prepared to listen and respond to the call of Jesus to catch and capture the hearts of unbelievers for him? Just as Jesus provided an abundant catch of fish, he promises that all that turn to him will also receive abundant blessings, his provision and life in all its fullness. However, one thing he doesn't promise, if he does, I've not found it in the Bible. He doesn't promise that it will always be an easy ride, because it's not. Although he does promise to accompany us through the good and the bad times in life. There have been many disappointments in my 35 years of ministry. For example, about 30 years ago, and I wasn't here then at St. Chad's, having applied for and begun my path into full-time ordained ministry, a fly appeared in the ointment, which changed the path I was to walk with God. Yes, at a time I was very angry, not with God, but the fly. However, it seemed God had other plans to keep and use me in the police force, witnessing to people there, and he blessed me with an itinerant ministry, travelling to places that I'd never ever dreamt of. Remember earlier I told you how I put my fishing line into Desi's space, but my expectancy never materialised. Likewise, things must happen in God's timing and in line with his purpose if we want to succeed. If I had to be honest, the past 2 weeks have been very difficult as I struggled to come to terms with my present situation. However, I take great comfort from the words from Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I don't know yet where he wants me to lay down my nets to fish for men and women. But I do know that I can trust him in that. You know, he has moved Maggie and I around a bit in the past. And although our 18 years at St. Chad's has been our longest term, we know that whether we stay here or we move on, we have nothing to fear. Majority of our numerical growth here at St. Chad's has come from similar situations where God has moved around his people to fulfill his purpose in their lives and in the life of this church. Now, although not a perfect church, we must be doing something right, drawing people from other churches. And it will be very interesting to hear the future plans that Martin brings back after his 3-month sabbatical. Many of us in recent weeks have been deeply engrossed in either cricket, football, or currently tennis. We've been able to choose which to play at a flick of a switch or to record and watch later. Now, isn't modern technology marvellous? Have you ever watched a particularly poor shot and thought, he or she should have done much better than that? Perhaps in your imagination, you have indeed done better with that ball yourselves. 11.7 million people, including me, watched live the England Lionesses World Cup semi-final last Tuesday. Now, although on balance of play, to be fair, America did deserve to win, how frustrating was it to see the England captain kick such a weak penalty? You know, even Long John Silver could have done better. However, take a bat to the crease, a racket to the court, or place the ball in the penalty spot, and it becomes a different matter, as stress can often creep in. From the comfort of our armchair, and with the benefit of a slow motion replay, we have time to make our defence or attack and give imaginary skills and strengths, which we probably lack at the moment. But when the ball is actually come in, a decision and actions are required rather quickly. The direction and the possible outcome of the game may depend on it. Life is full of decisions. Frankly, they don't all rush at us like the tennis or cricket ball. But there are some decisions that do come to us rather like that. Maybe we have acted before we've had time to think matters over. There are some decisions that will have a profound effect on all of our lives. They are watershed decisions, such as taking our first step of faith, as those disciples gave up their successful business and took a step of faith to follow Jesus. Other issues will come along, and if we are committed in certain areas, much thought will be needed. Certainly, I've been contemplating that over the last couple of weeks. Works I've been doing with the old people's homes and MCC and things of that nature. Been weighing heavily on my mind, but I'm sure God will sort that out for me. Now, I assume that most of you here have taken a conscious decision to follow Christ as a disciple, just like those fishermen in our reading. And as a disciple, we are all called to be fishermen. Now, don't panic. You won't have to put maggots or worms on the end of a line, okay? It means that we must be prepared to fish the vast ocean of unbelievers, to bring them into Jesus' net. How good are we at fishing? I wonder if Jesus has ever watched us and thought, they really should have done better. Now, I guess that I'm not alone in thinking it. If only I could pause, rewind, or even wipe the tape clean and start things all over again. Of course, we can't. But I know a man who can. Jesus is more interested in our future than he is in our past. When my dear friend Dr. Shurish came and spoke here a couple of weeks ago, something he said at a 10:45 service has really stuck in my mind. You may remember at both services he mentioned that his mother became the first follower of Christ in their Hindu village, starting an amazing ministry, sharing the love of Christ in a very hostile surrounding. You know, Hindus are turning to Christ as they see and receive both spiritual and practical blessings that can only come from the true God in heaven. Although I knew whilst he was in Aberdeen studying to become a pastor, his mother had been blown up by a bomb planted by Hindu extremists who resented their ministry, because he emailed Maggie and I at the time and asked us to pray for her. But what he never told me, over the 20 years I've been friends with him, was his mother's reaction. Although severely wounded, she told Shurish, as he arrived at the hospital, that she was proud to have spilt blood for Christ, just as he had shed blood for us on the cross. A very profound statement. Frankly, through much prayer and God's grace and mercy, she recovered. If you only remember her statement out of all I've said in 18 years at St. Chad's and share her reflection of the great sacrifice that Christ made for you and me, I would be leaving a much happier man.